You do know that's okay. If you don't know, take out a mirror, take a look, and you'll probably laugh. You can always find something to laugh about in yourself. This morning, can I say Happy Mother's Day to all of you? You know, moms are pretty great. You know, when you're a kid, they're not that great. Just saying, okay, from a kid perspective, because you can't get away with anything. It's kind of like they have eyes all around their head. But when you get older, you realize why they needed all those eyes. Because then when you get children, you realize what work it was, right? And many times I give my mom a hard time. And I know she's sitting in here, so I got to give you the PG version, maybe the G version. But we used to give my mom a hard time a lot. We gave her the nickname Drill Sergeant. You know, isn't that a lovely nickname to have as a mother? Because she dropped the hammer. But you know how many times, if she hadn't taken some time, and I got thinking about the fact that we're in a series on authority, you know, many times we can misunderstand authority. You know, I gave my mom a hard time. Now, my mom knows that I was giving her a hard time. I love my mom, and if you didn't know that, Mom, I love you, okay? All right, making sure to say that publicly, so if you don't see me next week, you know what happened. I just took my life in my own hands. But when growing up, you had to understand and respect authority in your home, did you not? And if you didn't respect the authority that was there, there was something that would happen, some kind of a consequence that would take place. And we live in a society today that many people are not enforcing authority. They're not. We have a generation that's raising up, and there's no boundaries. There's no lines. There's no consequences. They get to do what they want to do. Maybe parents let kids get away with things because they feel guilty or they feel bad or they feel whatever it is. But ultimately, it ends up just damaging the child. Why? Because they didn't understand authority. See, understanding authority doesn't mean do what I say just because I say for you to do it. That's part of it. But understanding authority has to do with helping to cultivate and develop a people that understand there's a way and there's a rule. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because this thing about authority, we talked last week about the principles of authority and just kind of took a look at what those were. And we understood a few things about that. Each and every one of us are to be under authority. Each and every one of us are to be under authority. If you're not under authority, or if today you're thinking nobody's going to be, you know, telling me what to do, and you may think you're not under authority, you are. It's just whose authority are you under? You may not be under God's authority, and you may rebel against that, but you're just under the authority of man, of your supervisor, of your boss, whatever it may be. We're all under authority, and today I want to talk to you a little bit more about understanding that authority. It's very important. So look with me in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, verse 26, and then find Psalms chapter 8, and we're going to take a look at those two scriptures, okay? Those two right there. By the way, I want to give a thank you to you as a church. Last week we played a video for A.J. Williams, who's going on a trip to Colombia, and said, hey, I'm in a pinch and I need to get some money raised. And you guys came through. You raised the money and he is able to go and he's able to do what he needs to do. So thank you as a church for being so willing to give in that. We got this church just has a history of a great heart of giving to missions. So again, thank you for being a part of that. Now authority, I want to take just the next 30 minutes and talk to you about authority and understanding our authority and what God has given to us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to go back to the very beginning. We're going to take a look at what God had to say when he started setting up his kingdom, this rulership. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says that God said, "Let us make people in our image, to be like ourselves." I'm reading from the NLT version. "They will be masters over all life, the fish of the seas, the bird of the skies, the livestock, the animals, wild animals, small animals." So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself, male and female, he created them. Verse 28, God blessed them and told them, "Multiply and fill the earth, subdue it. Be masters over the fish and the birds and the animals." Now I'm going to stop there for just a moment. In reading those three verses, you may say, I don't understand how that gave any authority at all in what's taking place. What we're going to talk about this week is going to build upon what we're going to talk about next week as well, when we're going to talk about ruling well, the authority that God gives us. And so what I want to share with you is just five things that have to do with authority. You know, lost and found is something that you have almost any place you go. You go to a store, they'll have a lost and found. You come to the church, we have a lost and found. It's a place where we take those things where things have been lost, we place them in a one location. So once you discover that which was lost, you can go look for that which was lost and hopefully find it. By the way, most of the things that are lost in the lost and found at the church are Bibles. Ironically enough, if you're missing a Bible today, please come see us later. Unclaimed items are found in the lost and found. And we're going to address what God has intended for us, you and I to rule our world. We're called to rule our world, and many of us have given up the right to rule, is what we'll see as we go through this series. Because we've done this, we're now being ruled by that which is illegitimate. We end up becoming ruled by circumstances in life, ruled by people in our lives, ruled by problems in our lives, ruled by challenges that we face. And everyone else seems to be calling the shots for us, and we've lost sight of our spiritual authority. We've lost that. We've lost the spiritual authority in our personal lives. What it means is that God is calling us to utilize this spiritual authority, but if we've lost it and not found it, how can we use that which we don't have? So the desire is that those who have been the tail, as we go through this series, will learn what it means to become the head spiritually. Okay? Are you with me so far? Have you ever felt like the tail? Have you ever felt like you're always on the whipping end of it and you know you don't have that authority, I don't have that right, I mean, I don't deserve this? So we end up in this funk of feeling like we're the tail, we're never the head, when God has called us to be the victor, not the victim. But the only way you're going to get there is if we start to realize the authority that God has given for you, to you and to me. You don't have to earn it or pay for it. You just have to start functioning and walking within that. So Genesis chapter 1, God takes some time. He demonstrates his creative genius simply by a spoken word. God spoke and it was said and it was good. 5 days later, he created a spectacular earth. Then he came to the sixth day, verse 26. It says that God said, verse 27, you see that God created. Verse 28, you see that God blessed. He went through just the process of saying it, creating it, and blessing it. So verse 26, he says, let us make man, and that word us is plural, by the way. He's talking about the Trinity, the triune God, Father God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, let us make God in our own, make man in our own image. And so there's a few things we learn about authority right up front. Number one, write this down in your outlines. God has given us rulership. When we're talking about spiritual authority, the first thing we need to understand is that God has given you and I here in 2015, Church of the Open Door, Clinton, Iowa, you're sitting here today, He has given us rulership. He's given it to you and to me. We're going to make man in our image, he said, and then we're going to let them rule. How scary is that? God said, we're going to make man in our image, and then we're going to cut him loose and let him rule because we created him in our image. Now let him go, and we're going to turn this rulership of the earth over to man. We're going to put it in their hands, and we're going to let them rule. That's what he's setting up here in Genesis. Let me say it another way. God delegated basically to mankind the willful responsibility for caring for his creation. Did you know that's what he's given to us? He said, I created you. I placed you here so that you could manage well that which I've given to you. I give you authority. Now go at it. Think about that. We're not just created by mistake. We're not an accident. We're not any of that. God has a perfect plan for our life, but we cannot complete that unless we understand the authority that we have. The moment we lose sight that there's an authority God gives us spiritually, we start believing the lies like, I was never meant to be. God made a mistake or I don't deserve to be here. I don't belong here. Each and every one of us belong here. But if you don't understand your authority, you'll end up buying the lie. You see, God moved from direct control, the running of the world, the ruling of it, the management of it, the stewardship of it, and he gave it and placed it into the hands of man. God has endowed the human race with the opportunity and the responsibility of handling stuff. So he's given man the dominion to rule the world that he's created. And what God is saying is that we are removing ourselves, Father, Son. He says we're removing ourselves in the managerial responsibilities of creation, and we're placing it in your hands. So if earth goes bad, you know, this explains a lot too, doesn't it? Because when things go bad, it's because God has placed that rulership into our hands. And so everything that happens because we get to make a decision in this. So Don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that God has given up ownership. I'm saying that God has given us rulership because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God owns it, but he's given it to us to rule. Have you ever owned something that you lent out to somebody so that they could use it? You ever do that? Okay. Have you ever gotten it back in worse shape? Yeah. God owns this world. So when we talk about the fact that God has given us rulership, understand he said rulership, not ownership. Okay? He's still the owner. He says, but I give you rulership. So he says, I'm creator God, and the three of us are hanging out, and we said, let's make us in our image. And then here's the third rock from the sun. Fifth? Which is it? I just lost track. Earth. Okay? And he says, I'm going to put man on there, and I want you to manage it now. Go. My hands are off. Go. Now, don't get me wrong. See, don't take the mindset that, well, God's already ordained this. He knows how this is going to turn out. Because that's kind of a deist type of thinking, to think that God kind of wound up the world and said, I know how it's all going to work out. And then he just kind of let go and lets it spin out, and he knows exactly how it's going to play out. No, he's given us rulership. Now, this is important when we're talking about authority. Because if you don't understand that you have rulership in areas of your life, you're never going to use the authority God gives and speak life into that. Some of us have marriages that are falling apart because we don't take ownership of it. We don't know we have an authority and that God has given us rulership. Not a dictatorship, not this control issue, about understanding that we have a part that we play in this. So he says, I've given you rulership. You see, it's not because it wasn't right when God turned it over to us, but sometimes the way we handle things, we can handle things foolishly. Have you ever found that to be true? Sometimes we can handle things, some of us are like reasonable, amen. We can handle things foolishly. It happens, it's a part of life. In fact, some stuff has been turned over to us and we've messed it up pretty bad, and it was okay when we first got it, but now that we've got it in our hands, things aren't going as well. And God turned over the managerial responsibility, and God would, within certain boundaries, respect man's decisions. He said, I'm going to give you the authority, the responsibility to rule your world well, as we'll see here in a moment. And God, within certain boundaries, is going to respect our decisions. In other words, you can call the shots. You can do whatever you want to do. You have the right to raise your hand to God, or you have your right to thumb your nose at him. And God will respect whatever decision you make within certain limits, within certain boundaries. But just know that whatever decision you make has a consequence that's attached to it. See, even if we make our decisions and our decisions are against him or they're going to hurt other people, God is saying, let them rule. I give them rulership. But what if they make a bad choice? What if they're going to be like just insane and crazy and they're going to hurt other people? He says, let them rule. I'm giving them rulership. Now look over at Psalms chapter 8 and how important this is, because we see how great God is in the creation of the earth and how he's put everything together. In Psalms 8, verses 3 and 4, he says, when I look at the night sky, and I see the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars you set in place. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? In other words, he's saying, I take a look at this big universe, and then there's little old me. I'm a tiny part of this. What is man that you're mindful of me? Verse 5, he says, yet you made them only a little lower, them being the human beings, a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their what? Authority. The flocks and the herds and all the world animals, wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish of the sea, everything that swims in the ocean's current. O Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. It's just showing us here that God has created everything, and he's done it magnificently. And in the midst of it all, he says that he has created man. It says just a little bit lower than God. And he's given them authority. So he's given you and I authority in life. He praises God not only for the greatness of his creation, but for the majesty that he's given to man. So God has placed a crown on the head of every human being and has called him majestic, is what Psalms is telling us. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to know that you have a crown. Did you know that? He doesn't want you to know that you have authority. Did you know that? Okay. Did you really know that? Did you know it because the pastor's asking and then dramatically pausing? Did you really know that the enemy doesn't want you to know how much authority you really have? Not could have, but do have. You have it. Some of us, the change that we need to see in our lives is not a matter of one day, maybe it could be today, if you would just realize the authority that God has given you. It says that he's given us authority, and the enemy doesn't want us to know this authority that we have. He doesn't want us to know that we have this crown and that we've been given this authority, because if he can keep us from thinking like a king, or if he can keep us from thinking like a queen, then we will not act like a king or a queen. If he can keep us bound and stuck in this place of defeat, he's happy. But if you understand the authority that God has given to you, and if you start walking in that, then there's nothing that can stop you, because God said, let them rule. He's given you and I rulership. Exodus 7:1 talks about Moses, when Moses was getting ready to go see Pharaoh, and he was going to address Pharaoh, let my people go. You remember this? And Moses was scared. He didn't want to go. He was bringing Aaron with him. And it says in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, and I believe it's in your outline. It's up on the screen. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. Then the Lord said to Moses, pay close attention to this. I will make you seem like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. That's God talking right there, okay? God is talking to him. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go, and when I send you to him, I'm going to make you like God to Pharaoh. In other words, he said, I'm going to give you such an authority that even though, think about this, Pharaoh's the man, okay? Pharaoh's the king. Pharaoh's the boss. Pharaoh's the, I mean, he's running the show and he's got everything going. But God says, yeah, but when I send you, I'm going to make you like God to him. He said, don't be a fool, Moses. I'm not going to make you God. I'm just going to make you, I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you such a sense of rulership that when Pharaoh sees you, it's going to be like seeing me. Why can he do that? Because God's the one that gives the rulership. You see, in other words, what he's saying is even in a pagan environment, he says, you can rule. How many of you work in a pagan environment? Let me put it in more terms, non-Christian environment. You work, you live in a place that doesn't glorify God all the time, but yet you have the ability to be have that rulership that can praise God and give him the glory. He's given that to us. He's given us rulership. Number two, write this down. God has created mankind to rule. Now you might say, well, that's kind of like number one, isn't it? He's given us rulership, and then he's created mankind to rule. I put them differently because just because he's given us rulership doesn't mean that every one of mankind is ruling well with the rulership God has given. We have been created to rule. Some of us are afraid to rule. Some of us don't want to function in the authority because if I stand up and function within that authority, what might come against me? I'd rather just play it cool. Kind of like, I don't want to cause too many waves. Are you that kind of a person? I am. I would like to live life in a canoe out in the middle with no current, just relax. Don't make waves. Don't cause any problems. Because the moment you cause problems, you ruin my world. And that's the way I like to live life. However, there's times when chaos comes into your world and you can't do anything about it. God wants to know, do you have the authority that God has given to you to be able to handle what comes down your path? What I'm trying to share today is that God has created mankind to rule. What's happening here is this. You have been given so much responsibility. You and I have been given so much responsibility to rule and so much freedom to rule that we can actually give away our rule. Did you know that? If we're not careful. You can't give away something you don't have. Many of us have given away our spiritual authority. We've just handed it over. Luke 4 talks about Jesus when he was handling the temptations with the devil. Remember that? The enemy, Satan, shows up and starts to tempt Jesus. And Satan says, all this stuff I'm going to give to you because it's been given to me. How did the devil get the world so that he could offer it to Jesus? Simple. Adam gave it to him. Adam couldn't give up what he never had. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But in the beginning, Adam gave it up. He gave up that rulership. And he gave it up to the enemy. So here he is offering it. But God once again is saying, let them rule. This authority to rule is no small thing. It's so big that God will regularly wait on your decision before deciding on what he's going to do. 2 Peter talks about how he waits. It's a verse that we've heard many times before. Let's go ahead and read that one together. Ready? Go. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God has created mankind to rule. And this rulership is such a big deal. God is going to wait on us. He's going to wait for us to get to that place where we understand what and how we need to rule. That's why some things take years. They take decades to get right because God says, I'm waiting on you. Now, all of a sudden, you become a very significant part of the body of Christ when you find out God's waiting on you. You know, many times we say, but no, I've been waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to answer my prayer. I'm waiting on God to bring me my mate. I'm waiting on God to financially take care of me. I'm waiting on God to do this, 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 and this. But God says, no, I can't bless you with that unless you are under the authority. So God is waiting on us to understand what it means to come alongside that rulership and rule well what God has brought into our life. When you understand that, you become a significant part of the body of Christ because you're not just a bunch of dirt that's here to exist anymore. You're not just a pile of dirt that's just waiting to die. God is saying, I breathe life into you and I've given you rulership and he's let us rule. Now, there's sovereign boundaries that we've got to function within, but there's a freedom that God gives us in the midst of those boundaries. If you've ever thought about authority is one of those words when you bring it up, it usually has a negative impact right off the bat, right? You know, we're going to talk about authority today. First thing is people probably go, oh, I want to talk about authority. You're going to tell me what I can't do and what I shouldn't do and what I did wrong. And we always look at the negative right away. But there's a positive side to understanding authority, that when you understand you have a rulership that God has given to you and you function within that, it brings a safety net. It brings a peace into your life. It brings a joy because you no longer have to worry about covering stuff up. You can just live life right where God has you. Think about this. There are boundaries that God gives, but we have a freedom within them. Kind of like, who are the football fans here? Football fans, let's see. How about baseball? Let's check out. Is there any tennis fans here? Sweet, two of them. I make three. You know, when you watch any game, basketball, who's watching the NBA playoffs right now? When you see a game that's being played, you enjoy the game. But let's now take away the sidelines. Let's take away the three-point line. Let's take away the free throw. Let's just put a couple baskets. As a matter of fact, let's get rid of the referees, okay? Now let's put a ball out there in the middle, and let's let them go at it and see who wins. You know what kind of chaos that game is going to be like? Do you know how much arguing and fighting is going to take place? Why? Because there is no rules, there's no boundaries, and there's no authority. Many of us want to live life with no rules, no boundaries, no authority. You know, I just want to be free. I just want to be free to do whatever I want to do. And they wonder why their world ends up in chaos. It's like watching a game like that with no rulership, no authority figure in there. You see, you cannot have joy in your life without having some boundaries in your life. They've got to be there. Otherwise, a game is not a game unless you have some guidelines. A game will not be an enjoyable game to watch unless there's a referee that's willing to call somebody on a penalty or a foul or a technicality that takes place. See, God has given us rulership, and he said, now I want you to go and rule well what I've given to you. However, there's an authority that you have to be under. Oh, I don't want to be under authority. Well, then you're not going to enjoy much of life if you don't understand what it means to come under authority. Coming under authority has less to do with well, here's what people usually think. If I come under authority, that means I have to do what my boss says. Well, you're going to have to do what he says anyway if you want to be paid and keep your job. Well, that means I have to do what my husband says or my wife says. Show respect and honor. I'm going to have to do what the officer says. I'm going to have to do. And here's the problem we have today. You know, I was watching a TV show. Here's a TV show I like to watch. I'm going to go way back. I just lost the name of it. Is it That Darn Cat? That Darn Cat. Do you remember this movie from Walt Disney? It is an old one. We used to watch it a lot. And in this TV show, if anyone was messing around in that, here's the policemen walking the streets, carrying their little batons, you know, walking around. And if they caught somebody, there was these bad guys in the movie, they got caught. You know what the policemen did? They just showed up and said, stop it. And they said, come with us. They didn't cuff them. They didn't throw them in the back of a car. They just walked with them. Talk to them. Why? Because there was such a respect and they knew they were caught and they knew the authority was there. You know what today is like? Today you gotta tase half of the population around here to get them to do whatever. Why? Because they have no respect for the authority that's around them. All you have to do is turn on the news and watch what's happening to authorities. They're pulling people over because they got a taillight out and they get shot because they're afraid the cops are going to find something else in there. An authority figure showed up and they rebelled against that authority. It's happening in our society, in our world, because we don't understand that God has given us rulership. And then he said, now I've created mankind to rule. He says, but now I want you to rule it well. We struggle with that. God has given us this authority. But number three, write this down as well. The decisions we make determine the rulership we'll have. You know, we can look at a movie back in the 1960s, 50s, somewhere around there, and say, man, remember that? You know, go back to the Dennis the Menace days. Policeman shows up. Everyone quickly respected authority. That's just that's kind of the way it was in that culture in that time. Now today, I mean, they've got tactical SWAT outfits on just so they can do what they need to do. The respect for authority has changed because people think that if we can just get rid of the authority or if we can disrespect that, then we can do whatever we want to do. But it's not the way it's going to work. Why? Because the decisions we make, they're going to determine the rulership we will have. In other words, if God has given us rulership and he's told us to rule well, the only way we can do that is by making wise decisions. Godly decisions. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God. The play that you call determines the rulership that you will have. So God says this. He says, listen, I'm giving you a football team. I'm giving you a football field. You can call whatever play you want in the midst of this football field, but you've got to stay within the boundaries. The moment you go outside the boundaries, there is a penalty, or the game is over, or the other team's going to get the ball. You have to stay within the boundaries. Call whatever. Do a Hail Mary. I don't care. You know, run around to the end, to the side. Obviously, I don't know a lot of football plays. Or run the ball around the corner. You know, do a quarterback sneak. I don't really care. But just stay within the boundaries. And if you stay within the boundaries, you can do whatever you want. God says, listen, here's the boundaries that I've given. Now I give you authority to rule well. Do whatever play you want to do. Call whatever play you want to call. But stay within the boundaries because the decisions you make will determine the rulership you will have or will not have. Psalms 115 verse 16 says, the heavens belong to the Lord, but he has given the earth to all humanity. God has given legal recognition for us to rule. That's why we're created. We were given authority to rule this planet Earth for good or for bad, which explains why whenever God wanted to do something on Earth, he had to find a person. Did you ever recognize that? God gave creation. He gave rulership to man. So whenever, do you ever notice that whenever God comes to do something on Earth, he looks for a man or woman to do it through? Why? Because he's given rulership and said, go rule well. God respects that authority that he set up so much that he comes and he finds a person to accomplish his will. He created Adam. He found a Noah. He located an Abraham. He had to find a Moses. He raised up the judges. He identifies prophets. He dubs a king. And when stuff really got bad, he became a man. That's why he came. Why? Because he says, let man rule. Let man rule. He's given us that rulership. He's become a man because he must rule through man. The devil doesn't want you to hear this series about authority because you just might start thinking like a ruler. You just might start thinking like I can have this rulership. You might start acting like a ruler, talking like a ruler, rather than a rulee. You see, we've learned to live life on the defensive side, on how we can cope and how we can deal and how we can come up with excuses and reasons for why we can't do what it is that God is calling us to do. But God is saying, I've given you authority to go on the offense so that you can get to the place where you understand you're not a rulee, you're a ruler. I've given you that authority. God has given legal authority within the boundaries to operate in history. You are God's go-between. Psalms 8 says that you've been made a little lower than God, not a little higher than apes, okay? A little lower than angels. Genesis 1:27 says that God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Both male and female, he created them. So by the way, ladies, you're in this too. This is not a male-only position, okay? He didn't just say this, that he created us. He said that he created us in his image. You and I, we've been created in God's image. You see, we're to mirror God in two ways. And the first way is this. It's in our state of being. Some people call this anthologically, okay? What it means is this. It means that he mirrors himself in you and in myself. He mirrors himself in us. He created a reflection. When you look in a mirror, what you see is a reflection of what is, okay? It shows you so that if something is not right, you can correct it. Or maybe something looks really good, so you can say, hey, I did well today. You see, what God is saying is we are to mirror God's image in our state of being, who we are physically. God loves God so much that he wanted to reflect himself in and through man and in and through woman. So he reflected himself in us in a physical sphere. This reflection of God in you, it's a spiritual nature. You and I have a spiritual nature within us. Okay, you're maybe sitting here today and you say, I have no spiritual being within me. There's not a spiritual bone in my body. Yes, there is, because God placed it there. Whether you're activating that or not is a whole other story, but it is there. So that you are not that far removed from God, that God can't activate. As a matter of fact, it's not about waiting on God to activate that. It's God waiting on us. So we have to understand, we have to mirror his image in our state of being. But also, secondly, we are to mirror God functionally. Functionally. God has already said, let them rule. I've given you rulership. Why do I need to know that I've been created in his image? Because when they rule, I want their rulership to be connected with me, God would say. I don't want you to rule because you're so good. I want you to rule because I'm so good in you. God wants to be recognized in this. I want them to mirror me. I want them to reflect in the physical sphere, the reality. I want them to do that in the spiritual. I don't want them to rule apart from me. He says, I want us to rule. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says that we're workers together, it says. So I'm going to provide the spiritual because they have my image, Jesus says. God says they're going to provide the physical because they're living in the physical realm. So the way I get my spiritual done in the physical realm is through, he does that through you and through me. See, we've got to be very careful because the spiritual, God is saying in the spiritual, they've got my image. In the physical, they can go places. So when both are working together for the purposes of God, nothing can stop you. There's nothing that can hinder you. There's not anything that can slow you down. So God's goal is always the same. It's always to spread the knowledge of God. That's why he said, be fruitful and multiply in Genesis. Adam wasn't supposed to rule the whole earth. He was supposed to rule his garden. Okay? It was mankind that was supposed to rule the earth. And that's why it was said, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, reproduce other people who are going to go out and set up new gardens under the rule of God. And everybody will have a garden that they are supposed to rule well. Now, there's no sin at this point. Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. There's no sin at this point. There's no rebellion at this point. This was God's plan. Satan's job is to destroy the plan so you become the tail and not the head. So you lose out on finding who you are and you start searching for something you'll never find because it's in the lost and found, that authority. But how do you find something when you don't even know that you've lost it? Some of us here are hearing for the first time that my position here on earth is to rule, and you didn't know that God has called you to rule. You didn't know that it was God's intention for you to rule. You have the spiritual nature within inside of you, and this explains why it says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. And I thought, you may say, I thought God was spirit, but God's spirit was within Adam. It says that he walked with God in the cool of the day, and I couldn't help but wonder, I wonder what they were talking about. And it dawned on me that if I were Adam, and I'm just speculating here right now, but if I were Adam walking in the garden, and I've been given this rulership, I'd be talking about things like, God, this is your garden, and I don't want to mess it up, so I want to make sure that I do the best I can with the garden you gave me. So tell me what it is that I need to know to rule my garden. God, show me what it is so that when I'm at the end of the day, everything I've done would bring glory and honor to you. As a matter of fact, I'm so concerned about making sure that I rule well what you gave me that I want to meet with you here every day so that I can hear what you have to say. I can only speculate that that's what was going on because it doesn't say that in the scripture. But I can tell you this. I can tell you that God wants us to spend time with him so we can hear how to rule our garden well. Each and every one of you here today have been given a garden. I've been given a garden. We've been given a sphere in our life, something that we are to rule, and we are to rule it well. And you can only do that with authority, spiritual authority, not man-made authority. Don't walk in there with your John Wayne britches on, okay? You know, I'm going to tell you how to do this. No, spiritual authority, which means you have to know what the Spirit of God is saying, which means you have to learn to hear God, which means you can start today. Oh, I can't hear God. I mean, that's got to be like so hard, isn't it? No, it's very simple. It's very simple. You listen for that voice. He says that I've given you this rulership. I've called you to rule. And not only have I called you to rule, but I want you to mirror my image. But number four, write this down. He also says, know that our rulership is never to be apart from his image. I want you to rule. I want you to rule well. Mirror my image. But know this, that the rulership that you and I have been given is never to be apart from the image of Christ. Because the moment we take it apart from the image of Christ, it's no longer spiritual authority. He understood his rulership was not to be apart from the image of God. His rulership was never to be apart from what God wanted. And what we have today are people who want to rule without the image, is what's happening. Everybody wants to rule. Everybody wants to call the shots. Everybody wants to be the boss. But what they do not want is the image. They do not want the spiritual being integrated into the physical. So God is cast aside, and we have to live with the consequences. We have to live with the consequences of ruling without the image. You are created in the image of Christ, the Word of God says. Let them rule. I give you rulership. God gives rulership, and I'm going to wait on them, he says, to rule. However long it takes, he says, I'm going to wait on their decisions, and that's why in the Bible you see all these delays that take place. Why do the delays take place? Because God is waiting on us while we sit here saying that we're waiting on him. Many times we haven't gotten... We might function within that. But if we learn what it means to walk within the authority of Christ, then the next thing the enemy is going to try to get you and I to do is to live apart from the image of Christ. Because living apart from the image of Christ means that we are going to have a powerless authority. Because God's not going to bless that. God says, I want to bless that. As a matter of fact, point number 5, write this down. God says this in verse 28, God blesses that which he authorizes. Verse 28 says, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. God bless them. Everybody wants to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed today? You know what it means to be blessed? Yeah, I put it in your outline there. A blessing, biblically defined, if I were to try to come up with one, I would say this. A blessing is enjoying and extending the goodness of God. That's what a blessing is. And notice it's both. It's not a blessing is enjoying or extending. It's enjoying and extending. So if you're the kind of person that likes to receive but you don't like to give, you're not going to see as many blessings because God can't work through you. He can't work through you. He says, this authority that I give is not an authority that I give just so that you can use it on other people. It's something that you have to surrender to. You have to submit to in order for God to be able to bless you. Let me tell you how he blessed them. He didn't just say, you're blessed. You know, God bless me. Nothing like that. It wasn't a hoop that he jumped through. It wasn't a song that he wrote. It wasn't anything other than the fact that God blessed them by resourcing the place where they were supposed to rule. He said, be fruitful and multiply. How were they going to do that? They were going to use what was around them that God provided, the resources that were available, so they could rule well where they were placed. God will resource you right where you're at. Many of us are looking for the blessing to come in dollar signs. Many of us are looking for God's blessings to come in a man or a woman. Many of us are looking for God's blessings to come in a pay raise or a promotion. But what God will do is he will use the people and the things around you to resource those blessings for your life. And it may include some of those. But if you start on the outside and try to work your way in, you're going to miss the authority that God gives. You got to start at this place where knowing that what God blesses, he authorizes, because sometimes, for some of us, the reason I say that is because some of us don't receive the blessings that God wants to bring into our lives because we don't know, is that something we should receive? Is that something we should do? It says Abraham was blessed in order to be a blessing. He was blessed in order to be a blessing. When God blesses you, there's going to be something of an overflow that spills out so you can give more to others later. Too many times we sit back and we're just waiting for God to pour into our lives, but yet we're not willing to give what we have. You know, maybe for some of us, we've been sitting around and we've been waiting for God to use us, but maybe God's been waiting on us to get up and be used, to get involved, to get plugged in. You see, God likes to hit a moving target. God likes to bless those who are getting involved. Maybe you're in a place where you're saying, I don't know what I have and what I can give. I know this, that when you come to a place where you say, God, use me, God will show you what it is that you have that you can give. Maybe you're here and you can get help, get involved helping with some area of ministry in the church. God will bless that as you start to be a blessing to others. But we have to come to a place of understanding that if we don't do it with understanding what authority we submit under, we're going to miss out. Maybe you're like me. You ever have a bad day, bad week, month, year? Some of us might say decade. You know, many times we want to give up. People will say, how can there be a good God when things go bad? How can there be a good God when there's so much pain in this world? God's answer would be, he'd say, let them rule. What do you mean, let them rule? I've given them rulership. But God, how can there be a God in this world and there be so much war? And God would say, let them rule. Let them rule. Well, how can there be a good God and there's so much child abuse? And he would say, well, let them rule. How can there be a good God and there's so much crime? And God would say, let them rule. God has said, you can decide to rule with me or you can decide to rule without me, but you get to rule. You and I, we get to make the choice. So the question is, do you want to go to the lost and found and find that rulership and that authority that God has given to us? Or do you just want to say, well, it's gone and I don't know where it's at? You see, we've got an authority that we've been given, not an authority that's cocky, not an authority that's full of pride or arrogance, an authority that understands that God has given it to us by his Spirit. You know, a lot of coaches will tell players, a word they use a lot, you'll hear it from NFL on the way down to high school, is the word dominate. They'll tell them, dominate. And a player can be sitting there and he'll say, I don't get it, coach. I don't know if I can go on any longer. And the coach will say, dominate. And he'll say, but coach, you don't understand. They're trying to tackle us and knock us down. And he'll say, dominate. But coach, you don't get it. They're blocking us. We've tried every play possible. And he'll say, dominate. They're trying to hinder us though, coach. And he'll say, dominate. Why? Because that's who you are. That's who you've been created to be. If you want to be a champion, think like one, because then you will play like one. And as you go through this series and you learn your spiritual authority that God is calling upon you and how it's connected to your image, this morning, dominate. Dominate. Some of us today have been living a life saying, I just said, whatever, just whatever. I just want to get through life. You know, if I can just kind of get through another day and make it home to heaven, then I'll have some peace there. God wants to give you some peace right now, but you're going to have to dominate. You're going to have to understand that there's an authority that God has given, and you're going to have to be willing to grab and receive that. Amen? Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that, Lord, we can come to you this morning. Lord, we may not have it all figured out. We may not understand everything about the authority that you've given, but Lord, forgive us for the times when we've been disobedient to walk in your authority that you've given simply because we didn't understand. Lord, for some of us here today, we're walking in an area where we need to see you move in a mighty way. But Lord, we become comfortable to stay where we're at, not wanting to cause any waves, not wanting to stir things up, not wanting to create a scene. We've settled in life instead of dominating in areas where you called us to dominate. Lord, today, we understand that you've called us to rule. You've given us a garden to rule well. Lord, may we look at that which you've given to us and ask the question, Lord, are we ruling well with that spiritual authority that you've given to us? Maybe you're here today and there's an area that it's in your marriage, your finances, your life, whatever it is, and God's saying, dominate, dominate. It doesn't mean that you have to win at all costs. Dominating means you get back up when you get knocked down. Dominating means when the game's not over, you don't quit and go to the sideline and sit there and say, I'm not playing anymore. To dominate means that you start to embrace this authority that God has given to you and to me. It's an authority that doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from anywhere else but from above. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing that's going to give you what you need to get through what you're going through, whatever that is. Maybe you're here this morning and you've not made a decision to follow Christ. Without him, you can't dominate. I'm not going to pressure you. I'm just going to simply ask, are you here today and you need to make a decision for the Lord to say, Jesus, I need to see you in my life. I need to ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins so that I can dominate. Is that you? Just simply raise your hand that I might agree in prayer with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to wait for a moment that you can make that decision to follow him. Okay. Let me ask this. Are you here today? I agree with you, my sister. God sees your hand and your heart. Receive that today And know that greater is he that's within you than anything in this world. Now dominate. Dominate with that authority God gives. Let me ask, maybe you're here and you know from just what we've talked about this morning, you've not been walking in that authority that God has given. And you want to start today. I don't know what that means to you. Maybe it's in your business, your home. I don't know what it means. But you know this. You know that God is starting to kind of tug on your heart. If that's you, I'm just going to simply ask this, that you just, I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, that you'd simply receive that. Because God wants to deposit within your life and over the next few weeks an understanding of what spiritual authority is. A spiritual authority is not being big in the britches. It's being big in your heart. And letting God be God. So, Father, I pray for each and every person here today that, Jesus, you would fill us with an understanding of your authority. Lord, may we start to walk in the authority that you have given us. Lord, we may not understand it completely. We may not be perfect in our thinking. We may not even be perfect in our motives. But what we do want to have is a perfecting process in our heart that says, Lord, less of us and more of you. So, Lord, we receive that today and ask that you would empower us with an understanding of walking in your authority. We ask in your name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? The next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about authority, understanding what it means to rule where God has placed us. I'm just simply going to ask you to keep your hearts open to receive what the Lord has for you. God bless you, and happy Mother's Day. Enjoy your day. Have a blessed day.
Hello, test, test, 1, 2. Is it working? Okay.